Hello, I'm Raymond Benson, and I'd like to welcome you to Bond Music 101. Class is now in session.
$267,000.
I'll settle for one dance with Domino.
Can you play any other tune?
Something we're making for the Americans. Called the Ghetto Blaster.
May I cut in?
That's the cello!
Play it again, Sam. It's a charming tune.
Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101. I'm one of your hosts, Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, and we're here today to have multi-Bond novel author Raymond Benson enlighten us on the history and the scores of the soundtracks of the 007 universe. But before we get to the professor himself, let me introduce you to my fellow student here and co-host of all of our episodes. I got Mr. Alan J. Porter. We are also best friends. Not a lot of people know that. How are you doing today, Alan?
I am doing good, Jared. I'm sure one or two people may have picked up on that over the last few days, weeks, even months, even. So yes, I see we bonded this week on our love of the Batman 89 soundtrack, among
yes,
other things.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
So jumping back to the franchise we're meant to be talking about, today we're going to be donning our rubber suction caps, scaling up the volcano to enjoy the sounds of the Land of the Rising Sun, that is the You Only Live Twice soundtrack. This one has another little resonance for me. When I was at high school, we started a audio-visual movie club, and when I was in my senior year at high school, and we managed to get a grand total of two movies on 16mm prints. Gives my age away. One of which was Chato's Land, the Charles Brosnan Western. And when the teachers found out how violent that was, we weren't allowed to show that again, which meant for the first 4 months of the existence of our movie club, every Friday night, we showed the one and only other film we had, which was You Only Live Twice. So I think I've watched this one Bond movie way more than any of the other Bond movies probably combined. But I still enjoy it. And I really do love the soundtrack that goes with it. Anybody else got any You Only Live Twice stories or before we sort of jump in?
Well, hi, everybody. Hajime namaste, as they say in Japan.
Yeah. It's going to be like that this evening, I think.
No, I just love the soundtrack. I think it's easily in the top three of the Bond soundtracks, period. Probably it's my number two. And we have not gotten to my number one yet. So, it's just terrific. And, you know, I saw this on the big screen. I love it. I still love it. Some people, as far as the movie is concerned, some people kind of diss it because it's so kind of, you know, out there. I mean, it's, you know, kind of the first over the top Bond film. But I love it. It's so 1967. It's just like the peak of the fantasy spy boom that was occurring in the 60s, you know. So, I think I mentioned at our Casino Royale recording last time that Austin Powers, you know, stole more from Casino Royale than anything else, but he also stole a lot from You Only Live Twice. So he really targeted 1967.
Yeah, I think this is the first one where things happen just because it's a James Bond movie.
I think you're right. Yes. You're right. But it's still, you know, I would still put it in my top 10 because it's just so cool. And in 1967, Japan was very exotic and very mysterious to us Westerners. It was only, just a little over 20 years since World War II. So Japan was this mysterious place, and they really played that up in the movie.
Jared, any You Only Live Twice moments, memories for you?
Mildly similar to yours, but, you know, I'm just a little younger than you. So when I went to college and I started building my own VHS library, so there's me dating myself. And, you know, when as a college student, you don't have a lot of money, so you got to find used VHSs at the stores. And the first of the Bonds that I got was You Only Live Twice. So much like you, my friend, I would watch that one over and over and over again. So it's definitely probably the one I've seen the most as well. That's weird that we have that in common.
Uh-huh. I know I had the VHS. I can't remember. Was it letterboxed?
Not the one I had. It was like the original run, like CBS Fox released or something like
that. Oh, yeah, those were awful.
I remember being so excited when I was in college, the Letterbox versions came out, and I did pony up the dough to buy that box set.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've bought the Bond films. It's just like,
I'm the same with you, man. Ooh, it's got good cover art. I got to have it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive in, shall we?
Yeah, let's. We're sat at the desk. We've all reminisced. So let's dive into the music of You Only Live Twice.
Okay. Well, you know, Thunderball was this huge success, and there were plans to film. They thought they might film on Her Majesty's Secret Service next, but apparently with Sean Connery's schedule and the time it took to sort of figure out what they were going to do, they realized that the season to film in Switzerland would be too cold and too blizzard, you know, too snowy. So they turned to You Only Live Twice, which was actually a more recent novel that was on the bestseller list, which is a shame that they reversed the order of those two books. They could have followed the Blofeld revenge story, but they didn't. Anyway, so You Only Live Twice is in production. John Barry's hired, you know, easily. He didn't have to audition for it. So by the middle of 1966, the movie was in production. Barry was doing, you know, really well in his career. He was already scoring a lot of other movies, and he was actually making albums of his own. His sound was being imitated everywhere in TV shows and other movies. You know, he kind of invented the secret agent spy sound of the 60s, you know, the sassy sound. And it was being imitated everywhere. You know, one of the films he scored that year in 1966 was Born Free. And that won him his first two Oscars for both Best Score and Best Song. But anyway, he knew You Only Live Twice was going to be in Japan, and so he thought, well, we need to make this sort of oriental sounding. He got his old buddy Leslie Bricusi, the lyricist, to work on a theme song, and they created one that did have a very oriental flavor to it. And they decided to record a demo of it. This demo was recorded in late 1966 or maybe early 1967. And they asked a singer named Julie Rogers to perform it. She had had a 1964 hit called The Wedding. And for some reason or another, this demo first attempt at a You Only Live Twice theme song, it ended up being discarded. I don't know if the producers heard it and rejected it, or if Barry heard it after it was all done and goes, you know, we can do better than this. But let's listen to the original You Only Live Twice theme song that was rejected, sung by Julie Rogers.
Sure. with danger, you gamble
with love.
Each one is a stranger in a black velvet glove. And if you
here we go.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, you know, who knows why this wasn't used, but actually think, yes, the song we got is better. It's much more memorable, much more melodic. And we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, that one seems a bit, I don't know, strident and on the nose to me.
Yeah.
Maybe just because I'm so used to hearing the other one now. But did I read that Julie Rogers didn't think it was a demo, that she thought she was actually recording the actual soundtrack?
That's what I've heard, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yep.
She's not the first person to be disappointed by a Bond movie decision.
I won't be the last.
Yeah, right.
I've learned that until you go to the theater and you hear your song on the opening credits, it's still up in the air. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Film footage, you know, started coming in and Barry got to work on the score. I think he did travel to Japan, but he didn't really take to it much. He kind of invented his own oriental motifs and sound. He didn't really use Japanese traditional music at all. It came from his imagination. He did add a koto to the orchestra. That's the national instrument of Japan, a 13-string sort of banjo-like thing. And, you know, he had to write space music, much like the underwater music of Thunderball, to give it kind of this floating feeling using flutes and strings. And the score was recorded in late April, early May of 1967. And basically, there, you know, when you hear the score, there are three main themes that you hear that recur throughout the whole thing. One is the title song. The other is the sort of the space march that accompanies all the hijackings. And then there's a romantic theme that's very Asian or Japanese sounding that's used in the wedding, but it's also used in other parts of the film. So he kind of relied on those three motifs. Now, apparently, Harry Saltzman hired a music supervisor for the movie. And this kind of irritated John Barry. So that guy didn't last long. For example, this music supervisor, allegedly, he suggested Aretha Franklin to sing the title song. Well, they thought that would add too much of a soul flavor to the song. And that's not what they wanted, you know. But let's go sort of in order of the film. And, you know, after the gun barrel, which actually we'll hear a little later as part of another track, we get the first space music. And this is during the pre-credit sequence where we see the space capsule being hijacked by Spectre. This track is called Capsule in Space, and it's right off of the soundtrack album. It's just a beautiful, eerie, wonderful piece of music. Let's hear it. Thank you.
That's probably one of my all-time favorite Bond music cues that isn't sort of theme tune related.
Well, mine too. And in fact, that's part of my Bond suite that I play on the piano, believe it or not. I managed to do an arrangement of that on the piano. So,
yeah, and I think David Arnold quite often cites it as the piece that inspired him when he first saw You Only Live Twice on one of those pesky 16mm projectors. Capsuling Space was the thing that made him realize that film music was a thing that he could go do.
Yeah.
But that music came through okay. You guys were able to hear it okay?
Yeah.
Because I was worried it would be breaking up. We're breaking up. I can't hear you. I waited all week to put that joke in there. All right, let's proceed.
Okay, so our next track will be the title song. And it was Cubby Broccoli who suggested Nancy Sinatra to sing it. You know, well, she's not Asian, but she wasn't a soul singer either. But also it was because Broccoli was friends with her dad, Frank. Nancy had already had a few little hits, like These Boots Are Made for Walking.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
So they asked her to do it, and the song was recorded in May of 67, and apparently she was very nervous, and they had to do about more than 30 takes of the song. But finally, both Cubby and John Barry sat her down and reassured her enough that she was confident enough to record it. But apparently the final recording that we hear was pieced together from more than 20 takes. Now, Lee Hazelwood, who was her partner with her own music, he produced a different version of the song, kind of a Billy Strange arranged version, and it became a U.S. and U.K. single. And that's the one we all heard on the radio in 1967, the summer of 67. Instead of the soundtrack version, we heard this version that was a single. But now let's hear You Only Live Twice, sung by Nancy Sinatra, as heard in the film.
Only live twice. That's pretty.
Yeah, that's lovely.
It is nice. It's one of my favorite theme songs, too. It's just, yeah, it's good. And I think Nancy does a pretty good job. This next track we're going to do is kind of long. It's one of the bonus tracks that appears on the remastered soundtrack. It was not on the original LP. And like they did with these bonus tracks on these remastered CDs, they consist of several short cues that are edited together to be one track. This one's called James Bond in Japan. And what it is it consists of music cues during the first 20 to 30 minutes of the movie. It actually starts with the gun barrel that's at the beginning of the pre-credit sequence. And we get a little the guitar riff, although it sounds very different. You'll hear it. We'll talk about it. And then we skip to the second half of the pre-credit sequence when we first see Connery in bed in Hong Kong with, what's her name, Ling, and he gets assassinated. Then the music goes to the funeral, which is right after the title song, the funeral at sea. And then we have some of that underwater music when the frogmen pick up the body and take it to the submarine. We get a little of that and the sort of military sounds of him in uniform in the submarine. And then we have the music when he gets sent to Japan through the torpedo, and he's walking around Tokyo, and the women are watching him and talking on their little walkie-talkies. And he goes to the sumo wrestling joint, then meets up with Henderson. Toward the end of this track is the music where Henderson is killed and Bond first goes to Osato, the building. So let's hear it. James Bond in Japan.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was actually just thinking that it was so long, Raymond's probably written another novel while we were listening to that.
So, yeah, there's a lot of sneaky Bond music in that, a lot of Bond theme arrangements. We hear some of the title song in there. I love the little part where it's going doo, boom, doo, dum, and then you hear the little Japanese dun, 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 you know. So he kind of mixes a Bond theme with the Japanese stuff, and it's very cool. But moving on. Did you have anything to say?
Well, actually, I was going to have a question. You mentioned before we got into it, the gun barrel was, the guitar break on the gun barrel definitely sounded different. It sort of sounded like it was down a couple of
notes. Oh, yeah. I think it sounded like they were using a koto, but they weren't. I'm not sure what they were doing. Yeah, it was just a different, it wasn't Vic Filic playing guitar. It wasn't him. Yeah. So the next track is also one of the bonus tracks. This is called Aki, Tiger, and Osato. Again, it's made up of several cues, not as long as the last one. This occurs right after this scene where Aki rescues Bond at Osato's building, and she takes him to meet Tiger Tanaka. And then we have music from the bathhouse and the first meeting with Mr. Osato and Helga. And note the use of the love theme in this one. So Aki, Tiger, and Osato. Okay.
Just listening to those two just made me think that for a movie that is so full of action and frenetic scenes, the score actually is really quite relaxing and melodic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're going to get to some of the action music coming up. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the love theme is really beautiful. Okay, so going into some action music, we've got A Drop in the Ocean. This is right off the soundtrack. A lot of percussive sound, kind of reminiscent of the 007 theme. But here we go. Let's do it.
Drop in the Ocean.
The latter half of that track consisted of what was really a Tiger Tanaka theme. There's a track on the soundtrack album called Tanaka's World, but it's not heard in the movie. It's one of those strange 1960s soundtrack oddities that where you often have tracks that were recorded but weren't used in the movie. And the Tanaka's World, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, you hear that in this piece, A Drop in the Ocean. Anything to say about that?
Tanaka's World sounds like a really cool, like, kids show that you'd watch on a Saturday.
And it's animated.
Exactly.
I need to watch that show now.
Right. All right. This next piece is my favorite track on the soundtrack album, and it's probably my favorite scene in the movie.
Oh, yes.
It's really a highlight. This is the fight at Cobra Dock. You know, it's the main theme, but it gets a really dynamic arrangement, you know, and that crane shot of Connery running across the roof and fighting the guys that are chasing him. It's just, it's thrilling. It's, you get chills. Oh, yeah. Seeing it. and even hearing the music. Then the second half of this piece is called Helga. And it's, you know, when she's captured him and has him in her clutches to show him the, what you call it, the demitasse. yes. So this is Fight at Kobe Dock in Helga.
Well, that was very cool.
It was awesome.
Oh, man, with that sweeping helicopter shot.
I know. I just wanted to run around my my room and air punch a bunch of imaginary villains.
Throw a stick at him.
Great John Barry at his best, I think.
Yeah.
It just sweeps you along. It's the best word for it. So now, the next piece is one of the bonus tracks on the remastered CD, and this is called Little Nelly, and this is played when Q arrives and brings Little Nelly with him. We see it being assembled and first starting to take off, and then we get a reprise of the 007 theme in a new arrangement. So let's hear it. And of course, in the movie, this segs right into the James Bond theme arrangement from Dr. No, you know, during the battle of the helicopters. It's the same one used from Dr. No.
Is it? I'd never noticed that. And I've watched that scene I've watched You Only Live Twice more than any other movie. I've probably watched that scene more than any other scene. That's one of my all-time favorite scenes out of the whole franchise, and I've never made that connection.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Peter Hunt apparently really loved that original James Bond theme from Dr. No, because he used it a lot. You know, I mean, he uses it in Honor Majesty's Secret Service when they attack Piz Gloria.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. A little 007 theme action there.
Oh, that'll win me over every time. You slip that in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Now, the rest of the score consists of different arrangements of the three main themes that I talked about. Plus, there's a section of when Aki is killed, this very eerie music with the poison coming down the string. Finally, the end of the movie has a reprise of the Nancy Sinatra title song. But originally, Barry had written an instrumental piece to close the film. And this was not used in the film. although the beginning of it is. And the beginning of it segs into the Nancy Sinatra reprise of You Only Live Twice. Now, this instrumental piece appears on the remastered CD, and it actually did appear on some international pressings of the original LP, but not ours. And this is called Twice is the Only Way to Live. And there we have it.
That actually would have been really good over the end credits, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's nice to hear her sing again. But yeah, I mean, you do hear the very beginning of that, like the first minute and a half or so, and that segs into her song.
Right.
I kind of like that part in the movie when it does like the jump cut on the raft and does a little blink, blink, blink. You know, the little sound effect.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I almost kind of wish it was in the music.
Well, the soundtrack album apparently did very well in the U.S. It charted in the top 30. Like I said, it did contain some music that was not heard in the film, like Tanaka's World. But otherwise, you know, it was too short and too sweet. I mean, it was sweet and too short at the time. And I was really happy to get that remastered CD. Just having all those bonus tracks in there, it just, it made it one of the best of those releases that were coming out. Yeah, You Only Live Twice, one of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of mine, too. Was there a particular track that we discussed today, Raymond, that we would say maybe was your standout choice?
Well, it would have to be Fight It, Kobe Doc.
Okay. What about you, Jared?
I'm going Fight It, Kobe Doc, which is, for those of us who are on the recording, is ironic. But, yeah, Fight It, Kobe Doc, man. That always puts me in the mind of that big, like I said, that helicopter sweep out. Connery's missing punches by a foot and a half, but it still is great. I love it.
Yeah,
I really do like that one, but I will say I'm going to go back to Capsule in Space. For me, that is, I think, my
yeah, I like it a lot too. And you know, We didn't play it, but I like The Wedding. It is a very pretty piece, too, especially when the strings come in, when Miyahama lifts her head and it kind of swells. So those of you at home that have the soundtrack, you can play The Wedding and hear what I'm talking about.
Great. So I guess that makes today's lesson complete. And this is the point where we hand the baton back to Jared to see what wonderful things he's come up with this month for our bonus track.
Well, thank you, Alan. As you guys know, in the bonus track, I scour the internet for remixes or alternate versions. Okay, I check my email. I rarely get to scour the internet because these guys are always so excited to share alternate versions with me. And Alan is the guilty party this time. And Alan did something super cool. Now, Alan, did you create that playlist?
Yes, I did.
I thought you did. Okay, Alan created a playlist on YouTube of, I think it was 19 different versions of the You Only Live Twice theme. Is there an easy way for our listeners to look that up, Alan?
I was actually just going to see if I made that a public or not. If I did not, I definitely will, and I'll let you know the link.
Okay, he'll get back to us on that. But he gave me 19 different versions on a YouTube playlist to listen to. And man, there was a bunch of good ones, but I decided to pick one that I thought was kind of standout, a little bit unique. So gentlemen, I need you to grab your surfboards because we are headed to the beach. We are going to listen to, I believe it's The Vultures, and
their
very surf sounding version of You Only Live Twice. Here we go.
Oh boy. That's when they decided to film You Only Live Twice in Hawaii.
So who's got thoughts on that? What'd you think, Raymond? Did you think that was a fun version or was it not for you?
Well, I was hoping it would get more lively.
Yeah, it's very laid back. It is very laid back.
Yeah, it's a little too laid back for me. But, you know, if Dick Dale had done it, you know, it would have been that would have been cooler. But no, it was all right.
What do you think, Alan?
Yeah, it was fun. I must admit, when I first heard it, I thought it was like that 60s vibe, but I didn't realize it was actually done in the late 90s, wasn't it? So, yeah, it was interesting. That list of 19 alternate versions of You Only Live Twice, I've just made it a public playlist. And if you're on YouTube, you can just search for Bond Music 101, YOLT, alternate tracks or alt tracks, and you should find it.
Cool. It's definitely worth your listen. I did some art drawings of James Bond while listening to those tracks, and I appreciate you putting that together, my friend, and I will hand the shtick back to you, sir.
All right. So, as we said, that brings us to the end of this episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101. If you've got any questions or a comment, you can email us at ohmspod@outlook.com or comment on Twitter at ohmspod. And if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, please don't forget to subscribe to Honor Majesty's Secret Podcast. And if you could leave us a rating or review too, that would be great. And if you'd like to chat with us personally on social media, I can be found on Twitter at Alan J. Porter or at Bond Lexicon for more specific 007 stuff. And Raymond, where can we find you?
Well, I'm all over the place. Twitter at Raymond Benson, on Facebook. Just type my name in and you'll probably find me. And also, I have an author page and a personal page. And RaymondBenson.com is my website. And also wanted to just, you know, say that I get my information from a lot of sources, a lot of Bond books out there. Special shout out to John Burlingame and his Music of James Bond book, which pretty much has everything you want to know about the music of James Bond.
Very cool. I doubly recommend that book. Excellent book. And Jared?
I can be found at Yard Sale Artist. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. And my next appearance is going to be Dragon Con at Labor Day weekend. So I hope to see you there.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. I will be at Armadillo Con in Austin the first weekend of August. All right. And as always, we'd like to thank our patrons who support all our White Rocket endeavors. And I believe we're going to hand over to White Rocket Entertainment founder Van Allen Plexico to thank all our patrons.
And as always, we have to thank our patrons who keep these programs on the air and bring them to you. Their continued monthly support makes all the programs on our network possible. For as little as a dollar a month, you can join their ranks and help make these shows continue to happen. We have to thank, of course, Brendan O'Dwyer, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, Carl Von Drunker, Phil Amthor, Winston Boddy, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, and Richard Stevens, along with Clarence Alford, David Hegler, Robert Mendenhall, Johnny Caldwell, Reynolds Wolfe, Joshua Corbett, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kanjian, Catherine England, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Jared Albrick, William Glenn Matthews, Joel Beckham, Theodore Gary, Shannon Butson, Taylor Sanford, Mickey B., Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, and Dave Powell. And then there's Jeremy Minton, Lane Middleton, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Chris Commode, Darren Pyle, Chris, Wardam Wade, Jason Albrick, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Spanky, Brant Rumble, J.W. Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, Surfer Chickify, and all of our other one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you so much. We couldn't do it without you. And the rest of you, just go straight to www.plexico.net, P-L-E-X-I-C-O.net, and there you can click on the Become a Patron button and help support all of our shows in this network. We appreciate it. You can see on patreon.com all the various benefits you get. We appreciate it, and we will see you guys down the road.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us for this episode. Next month, join us as we embark on a unique mission for Her Majesty's Secret Service to find out just exactly what Christmas trees are made of. I think there might be sunshine involved, probably love. I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know. It never happened to the other fella.
So whatever you do, don't be late to class.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thanks again.
Highly encourage you to legally purchase or legally download the music you heard on today's show. Please support the James Bond creative community.
So anything else exciting going on? You working on any books right now?
The new one comes out in October.
Ooh.
And I just completed the next one, which is a ghost story.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. That sounds cool. And then, of course, you're working on that Felix Leiter spinoff book called Silver Hands. That's what I heard.
No, I'm not. Oh. Yeah.
So Silver Hands still on the back burner.
I say, I'm not a gamer. I've never played the game, but I really enjoyed Sons of Liberty, even though I had no idea of the world or anything like that. It stood alone really well. It was a good, enjoyable techno thriller. So.
Oh, you read the book?
Yep.
Oh, wow. You're the one.
Yeah. Well, actually, sorry, I'm not. I actually got sent a free advanced copy to review for the website I was writing for. Oh,
so close. So
I didn't pay for it. Sorry, Raymond. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the game series, so I'm looking forward to checking that out.
Okay.
I'll pay for it, though, Raymond. That's the kind of friend I am. Well, boys, are we set?
Yep. Ready to go.
Then I'll light our candle. In three. Dun, bum, bum, bum,
bum, bum. wrong
that's
series.
Wrong franchise.
So that's one definitely for the outtakes at the end.
Yeah, I think we all know where that's going to land.